everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Can Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And yeah, we got a Pro Wrestling Illustrated today.
Yeah, I think we'll just jump right into this.
Yeah, let's do it, because this one is one of the most iconic titles, or iconic photos, I think, that's ever graced the Pro Wrestling Illustrated covers.
I was going to say that, because I feel like I've seen this a lot. This photo a lot, like especially when like in the advertisements for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, like this, you know, around this time, you know, like years afterward, they would have this one featured, and for good reason, because it's just it's fucking Sting won the title.
Yeah, it's awesome, and he's just like he's looking down at the belt, and he's like, yeah, I'm the champ, and like just looks like just like it's the greatest thing ever.
And he says, "If this is a dream, don't wake me."
Yeah,
and. Holy shit. We talked about that one time when Don Morocco won the North American title and they went all out.
Yeah.
This is more than that.
And it's worth it. Fresh, like his paint is all smeared. He just got done with the match. The Ric Flair plate is still on the belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great title. It's a great photo, I should say. It's awesome.
Also, the colors of this, too. Because so, like, Sting is in front of, like, a dark red background, but they also have, like, the headline and like light blue, and then there's like purple, like the Pro Wrestling Illustrated logos in purple, and there's red, and there's red, other red at the top. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty nice cover.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's probably my favorite cover like we've done so far. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna agree with that.
Yeah,
and I feel like this is something that if you, first of all. Getting back to this conversation that we were having last episode about the Stately Wayne Manor.
Yeah.
Like, this, if you're a wrestler, you know, if you're Sting, like, this is going on your fucking wall.
Yeah, totally.
If you're a Sting fan, like, this is the ultimate thing. Like, this is just, it's great. It's just, yeah. I don't even want to read the magazine.
Yeah, no. So, also in the magazine, there's a color fold out of the Legion of Doom in the back cover, and I love it. It's awesome. I want to hang it up, but at the same time, I want to keep this magazine in great condition. Uh-huh. I'm not taking it out.
Like, don't do it.
Like this magazine is just it's perfect. I love it. Yeah.
Well, it says new and improved.
Yeah.
And I feel this is when they've did some layout changes, as we'll notice throughout this book. But it's pretty. It's pretty good.
It's dated November 1990.
Yes, November. Oh, wow. Two November episodes in a row here. November 1990. So you have, obviously, the Sting thing on the front here. And then you got also here, they have a mention here, press conference, ex-champ Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And then you have color fold-out of a Legion of Doom, as we mentioned. And then a banner at the bottom. In this issue, hundreds of worldwide match results. And they're not kidding.
Yeah, there's a lot of results.
This is just, again, the layouts are different. They've expanded it. It's crazy. And then at the very top, this is actually one of the... we referenced this, I think, in another episode. But I love this headline. It's Rick Rude is wrestling the Ultimate Warrior all wrong.
Yeah, sure is.
And there's a picture of Luger and... Or not, sorry, Luger, Warrior and Rude here, so... Yeah, fuck yeah. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
I can't open these pages. Galaxy Wrestling. Who is the holdout?
Whiplash. GWF profile.
Yeah. Ooh, I like his favorite move is the backside beheading.
Oh, that's a great move.
Whiplash means business in the ring, and when his opponent has got his back turned, Whiplash delivers an incredible clothesline to the back of the opponent's head. He aims to use the backside beheading in his hot feud with Lord Nexus. So basically he just does the boomerang.
Yeah.
The last second part of the Outback Jack boomerang. I like that. And then we have our table of contents. First of all, again, Sting won the title. And this is actually something, I think this is something they changed in around this time for PWI. Is a table of contents, like they had, you know, it was only like on the left-hand quarter, like left half of the left page.
Yeah.
And then in the very middle, they had like a big black and white photo of something.
Yeah. You know, whatever was going on. Sting celebrating. Gordon Solie's trying to interview him. They're dumping champagne. You see a Junkyard Dog in the background.
Well, the great thing about the photo is that the champagne is all over, like it's in this weird, like there's arcing. It's fucking crazy. And then I like how Gordon is like trying not to get it in his eye.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, but he's still trying to be Gordon. Mm-hmm. So he's like, ah, it's actually, this is a great photo. Fucking, I love wrestling photos. I can't tell you. We got our letters page talking about Hogan and Hansen. That's something I've always wanted to see that match.
That was on a Coliseum home video, so maybe
no, was it?
Yeah, I remember renting it as a kid from Blockbuster. There was like a Hulk Hogan tape, and there was a match with him and Stan Hansen in Japan.
Was it this one?
Probably was.
1990.
I have to imagine that it sounds about the time. So you can hopefully that one's on the network.
I don't think it is, but it will. Hopefully they'll get to it because I want to see that. See, now I'm going to read this. I'm going to want to go back and watch all those Coliseums because there's some interesting stuff on there. Some of the gifts I've been seeing are quite wonderful. Yeah, man. You got this letters page and talking about Tommy Rich here. Tommy Rich. How did Tommy Rich ever become a star?
I guess, I love Tommy Rich, but at the same time, I could see your point. And I guess like in the 70s and the early 80s, he was a big deal, but
yeah,
I don't know. I only know Tommy Rich from when I was a kid, and by then he was not. I still love him. Don't get me wrong. I think he's great, but yeah, I don't get why everyone like holds him in such high esteem.
He's another one of those guys, though, that like you would read all about in these magazines. Then you watch a bunch of Tommy Rich matches and you'd be like, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never watched a Tommy Rich match. I think my favorite match, at least that I think, I'm trying to think if it, okay. One of my favorite matches he ever did was he was in ECW and he wrestled Terry Funk and they bled all over the fucking arena.
Yeah.
And I remember that being, I remember watching that because he was just there and it's just, Tommy Rich just being like, because, he wasn't like the young plucky face.
Yeah.
That he had a very limited shelf a couple of years in the 80s that went on, but like by this point he's just like, hey, come in and do things. So I'll tell you what, if you can tell me out there, podcast listeners, a good Tommy Rich match that I can find and watch, you send it to us on Facebook or send it to me on Twitter. I want to know. I challenge you.
Yeah. Tommy Rich.
Find me a good Tommy Rich match. And don't tell me that the last battle of Atlanta is any good because it's not. It's just a bunch of people getting thrown into a cage. And it's great to see, because it was lost for so long and you see it. And it's historically, it's interesting. But it's not a good match. You tell me, listeners.
I know. I'm like racking my brain trying to think of a good Tommy Rich match. Nothing stands out.
I don't think I've seen enough Tommy Rich matches, by the way.
That's true, too. Because
he never wrestled in things that like I had a lot of access to.
Yeah.
But I still want to know. I want to know. I don't know why I'm
thinking
so...
like early 90s WCW. Those weren't really great. So,
Ringside with Bill Apter talking about all the women being involved in USWA.
Yeah.
Which, there's a lot of women in.
It sure was.
You got Tony Adams, which was... Chris Adams's wife at the time. She's pretty hot back then.
Yeah.
And then you have Lady Blossom or Janine, who went on to marry Steve Austin. She told him to make sure he drinks his tea before it gets stone cold. And that's how he became Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he wasn't Killer McFreeze or whatever the fuck it is they wanted to call him. Also in the game here is Tessa, Bill Dundee's valet. And they had a bunch of stuff where women.
Bill Dundee had a valet, huh?
Bill Dundee had a valet. Here's actually this is. This
wouldn't
sounds...
they be worried that like the woman was probably taller than him?
Oh, 100%. Well, I mean, Bill Dundee, it didn't matter. He made a career of being short, but you didn't fuck with him.
Yeah,
he was one of those guys. He's like Taz. He was like he was young. Bill Dundee was the proto Taz.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse, I don't read this article. Even worse situation occurred in the next match as John Tatum regained the USWA Southwestern title from Bill Dundee. After pinning the Australian, Tatum begged his former valet, Tessa, to come back to him. When she refused, Tatum kicked her in the head. Like Tony Adams, Tessa had to be carried off on a stretcher. So,
that's not very nice.
Yeah, man.
Why'd you kick her in the head?
No,
she's not going to come back to you if you kick her in the head.
No.
There's better ways of convincing her to come back to you.
Yeah, no. So, elsewhere in ringside, we're talking about the Bash. We're talking about...
I see a photo of Zeus.
Well, you know why.
No.
This is the... And you can find this on YouTube, an infamous match between Zeus and Abdullah the Butcher on World Wrestling Council.
Holy cow, that sounds amazing.
It's... I saw it years ago, and I still can't believe it actually happened.
Wow.
Because you can you imagine, like...
Dude, Abdullah the Butcher must have, like, legit, like, stabbed him in the match. Like, there's no way Abdullah the Butcher would have put up with his shit.
I don't know. I think he probably just wrestled each other. And... They just wrestled, and I think basically ends in like a double count out, like almost immediately, which it did, yes. But yeah, I have to go back and find that because it's on YouTube. They had their big anniversary event, and you had it says here that RoboCop made another ring appearance.
Oh, good.
Doesn't say what he did.
No.
It's really funny because it's sandwiched between Invader 1 defeating Leo Burke for the Caribbean title in a boxing match, and then Abdullah and Zeus. But, yeah, man. What the hell is RoboCop doing in Puerto Rico? Was he avenging Bruiser Brody?
Maybe. He should have been.
Oh,
that's
man.
What I would have been doing.
Look, I'm going to lay this out here now. WWE 2K19 special order, pre-order, RoboCop.
Yeah, they should try to get the license to RoboCop.
You don't seem as enthused about that as...
Nah, you know, I don't give a shit about that game anymore. I'm just...
You will in a year. You will in a few months.
I doubt it.
I'm telling you will.
I doubt it.
We're going to be doing another episode about this because they're probably going to bring in, like... They're probably going to be like, you know... Because they're probably going to be like, fuck it, we're just doing WCW 89 Special Edition. Which they're not going to, but...
I doubt it.
No, they're going to do, like, a Raw retrospective. Which hopefully we'll get some shit. Maybe we'll finally get Mike Shaw.
Who do we have to talk to at WWE 2K to get the guys that we want? Like, that's what I...
We met those guys.
Yeah, but are they still involved?
No.
Yeah, probably not. they were with THQ.
Yeah.
Because I remember the one guy, the guy who's, like, the main guy.
The guy with the wearing the blazer and the wrestling shirt.
Was he wearing a blazer?
He was being hip.
But
there's a few guys there.
He I thought that he was like just like with THQ because he was asking, oh, any of you guys play UFC? And everyone kind of looked at him funny. whereas the big guy with the long hair and the beard.
Oh, that guy was like a developer.
Yeah, he was he's probably still there. Like he's probably still with he's with 2K probably. He's still developing the game.
I think I had
and
that
you
guy's
could
email.
Tell he was pretty passionate about the game.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. You could tell he was a fan and he was like really bummed out when they announced that Demolition was in the game and nobody popped at the unveiling. And I was like, dude, there are a bunch of kids here. That's why nobody knows who he is, but I'm telling you, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah. And yeah. Zack Ryder was there. You weren't there for Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I was there for Zack Ryder.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, Zack Ryder and
Randy.
Alex Riley was there too.
Oh, that's right. Riley was there. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a video. I have a random video of Big Mosh beating Alex Riley.
Yeah.
and then Randy Orton was there. Did you meet Randy Orton?
Yeah.
Randy Orton, I will say this. It was one of those things where you meet this dude, you meet Randy Orton, and you forget how tall he is.
He's pretty tall, yeah.
He's tall, and he's our age.
Yeah.
But, like, this was, what, 7 years ago?
It'll be 7 years ago, yeah.
I met him. He looked older than... we were at that time.
Yeah. He was just like, we were boys and he was a man.
Yeah. I was like, how do you be like, you're just our same age, but somehow you're like, man.
Yeah.
You're already like, because he smokes too. So yeah. I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. Like, and all weathered. And he probably lives on the road hard.
Yeah.
Living on that road. But
by then, I think he had his own tour bus, though.
Oh, yeah. He was,
I know he's got one now, so.
He was making that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got his own bus.
He was doing fine. But he was actually very nice, though. Granted, I don't know how much of a dick you could be. I mean, he could be a dick, but you didn't have to be.
My impression of him was nothing but positive. He was a great guy, really nice.
Yeah, that's the thing. You always hear all these bad things about Randy Orton. Yeah. I was like, he was very nice.
Not
shook my hand. He said, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I genuinely felt that he was happy to meet me.
Yeah, he was happy to be there. He was having fun.
He was talking with people about the game, and he actually even used it. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, take the bumps and stuff. It's like, oh, man, kayfabe.
Yeah.
He was not talking kayfabe.
Yeah, he broke kayfabe.
He broke kayfabe.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing but positive experience with Randy Orton for that brief encounter we had with him.
Shout out to Randy Orton from 7 years ago.
Yeah, he doesn't remember us. He probably doesn't even remember.
I don't think he remembers that. I think he wrestled what? I think he wrestled, it was the day of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
He wrestled, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was like the literal day of SummerSlam.
It was. Did he wrestle? No, he wrestled. I'm trying to think. He wrestled Christian.
Yeah.
Because that was when he was trading the title with him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Also on this ringside here, Paul Roma and Hercules Hernandez have formed a tag team, and they've turned bad. This is, of course, Power and Glory, and they're already challenging the Rockers to a series of matches.
Good. Somebody needs to put those Rockers in their place.
And they kind of talk about the origin of Power and Glory here. Roma lost a bout to Dino Bravo when his head slammed first into the canvas. He was slammed head first into canvas.
Yeah.
The Rockers came out to assist their friend, and Roma was like, get out of here. And then Hercules came to the ring, and then everybody fought. And apparently the injury was just a ruse to entice the Rockers into the ring. Roma and Hercules have both seen their careers flounder recently, and by attacking Jannetty and Michaels, they've earned gained the attention of the entire Federation. The duo is... This is a duo to watch. The combined strength of Roma and Hercules may even rival that of Demolition or the Legion of Doom. Well,
man, no.
No. No, that wasn't the case. If you WrestleMania 7 says otherwise. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting ringside here. I like it. Moving forward, we've got from the desk of Stu Sachs talking about Sting and his knee. Yeah. Talk about that. Again, this is the issue.
Yeah.
This is the Sting issue.
The Sting issue.
Everything's about Sting here. Andy Rodriguez, win, loser, draw, talking. I think they're talking about the...
Looks like the Russians.
Well, they're also referencing the three-man group of Demolition.
Okay.
So, yeah. They're referencing that and how they have, titles that they split between each other. I think that's weird. I don't know if I ever enjoyed that rule, the Freebird rule.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. The New Day does it.
Yeah, people do it. But...
So it's interesting because they caption it. They show the Russians like Nikita, Ivan, and Crusher Khrushchev jointly defend the world tag titles. Today, Demolition has been granted the same privilege. Mm-hmm. They don't point out that Crusher Khrushchev is Smash. They don't point that out in the caption.
That's right.
So Smash has been involved in two different three-man tag team title reigns. So
do they point that out at all in the article?
I don't know. That required me to read the article.
Smash is the OG.
Yeah.
Of Freebird rules.
Yeah, he sure is. He's been involved in a couple of them.
I didn't realize. You know what? That was lost on me for a moment.
Yeah.
Speaking of Barry Darso, he's another guy that I downloaded a Smash.
Yeah.
Because what I want to do is I want to fix it up so I can make him into 98 Barry Darso.
Oh.
And because I was remembering when I had Warzone.
Yeah.
I did a few easy guys to make because the creator, WWF Warzone had a very limited creator. So I made myself, maybe my brother. But then I also made Norman Smiley. I made Barry Darso. And I made the Patriot. And then I think I also might have made John Nord from 98.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I remember last game, 2K17, I had that six-man tag match of nothing but Barry Darso characters.
Nice.
It was Smash, Hole-in-One Darso, and the Repo Man against Crusher Khrushchev, Blacktop Bully, and then just generic Barry Darso.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did he have any other gimmicks? I feel like we're missing one.
Yeah. Who knows? Could have had a bunch of them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, he was also Payne Stewart, which was also Hole-in-One Barry Darso.
Yeah, that turned into Hole-in-One Barry Darso.
Payne Stewart. Yeah. I do like this In Focus article here with Craig Peters. Hawk an animal in the WWF. Who cares? Yeah, really, who does care? I mean, they were a big deal but in the WWF, but it never felt like they fit.
Yeah, they were kind of fish out of water there.
Yeah. It didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So, Bob Smith, The Steel Cage. I always like these articles. I don't read these enough, but Bob Smith's a good writer.
Yeah, they're talking about, oh, Kerry Von Erich. Oh, we hear you're going to the WWF. He's like, oh, I'm going wherever the competition is, but I love being in USWA. I love wrestling in Texas in front of my fans.
Yeah.
So it's basically it. And he doesn't want to wrestle Jerry Lawler again because he says the refs are just going to screw him anyway.
He's right. He got fucked.
Yeah.
He got screwed in that match.
Yeah.
Actually, that pisses me off when I think about it. It really does, because I'm like, you were again, he was winning.
Yeah.
If you do go, but you said you've never seen that match.
I still haven't bothered with it.
He was winning.
I'm sure he was.
And the ref's just like, oh, you got blood in your hair. Okay, well, I'll call the match for Lawler. I'm like, yeah. Fuck that. I like this. He's walking here. His foot's holding up. He's probably like, hey, where's the cheeseburger?
That's what he's doing. He's like tapping his leg back into place.
Yeah. you know the story around this time where it was like maybe it was a little bit before this that he was wrestling Colonel DeBeers, and Colonel DeBeers pulled off the leg.
Oh, wow.
In the middle, or pulled off the boot in the middle of a match. And I think Fritz went to like all the sheets and was like, that didn't happen. It was trying, but even though like Dave Meltzer was like, fuck it, it did happen. What are you talking about? It did happen. I saw it happen. So, yeah, Eddie Ellender here. What are the letters? Yeah, I didn't read any. I can't remember any of these letters.
I didn't read any of the letters.
Yeah. I'll just see.
There's letters.
Yeah, Eddie Ellender. Eddie Ellender's always good for a laugh.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to see here real quick. See if there's anything else here that we can reference. Oh, I do like this random, continuing on with this photo here. Somebody writes a letter, says, Eddie, I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts on what attempts to be Enderbay's attempts to go back to the roots and bring back some of the names from Georgia Championship Wrestling. Well, I think the Paul Orndorff is terrific. Mr. Wrestling 2 and Junkyard Dog should go back to their nursing homes. Was Mr. Wrestling 2 around at this time?
I don't remember him at all.
I know Junkyard Dog was.
The Junkyard Dog's passport photo they show in this magazine.
And the caption kind of, if you don't read the rest of the response, because Eddie references Killer Brooks, you know, and all, you know, from NWA Georgia. He says, if Junkyard Dog can come back to the NWA, can Killer Brooks be far behind? And if you don't read it, you don't understand. So,
yeah.
For a second, I thought this said Sandra Bullock from Galveston, Texas. But Sandra Block. Can Kerry Von Erich make it in the WWF? In a word, no. And Eddie was right.
Aw.
Give Kerry 6 months before he pulls a Billy Jack Haynes or runs crying back to Daddy. So, yeah. You know, it didn't quite happen that way, but he didn't stick around like he should have. Or could have.
Mm-hmm.
Our ratings here.
Top 10. We got a very angry looking Larry Zbyszko photo under the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the top 10. Warriors number one. Sting's number two. I disagree with that. This is the way this magazine is laid out. Sting should be number one.
It should just be Sting all 10.
Yeah, Sting, 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 Sting. But number 10 is Scotty the Body. So
he is PNW champion.
So it should be Sting number 1 through 9, then Scotty Body number 10.
I agree.
Yeah, that's my ranking.
I agree.
I love the tag teams, number 10, the team of Joey Maggs and Rex King.
Really?
Yeah, they were the USWA tag champs.
Holy shit, I never noticed that.
Neither did I, so that's awesome.
This is the only time that Joey Maggs has been rated.
Probably.
This has to be.
Gotta be.
Has to be, because I am certain that title reign did not last till next issue.
Yeah.
And he was never, outside of the PW 500, he has never been ranked again. Maybe, I don't know. R.I.P. Joey Maggs, by the way.
I don't even think he was in the PWI 500.
He had to have been.
Yeah, I got to imagine he was.
Everybody. Mr. Fuji was ranked as a wrestler in the PWI 500. Oh. So was Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
In the very first one, that for a fact. We got to find that one, man, because I had that. Man, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
NWA rankings, though. Sting, number one. Mark Callis, number three, moving up from spot 9.
Wow.
Because he just had that, he had a hell of a match against Luger. With a fucked up hip,
yeah,
at the Great American Bash 90, And that pretty much helped get him a job with WWF.
Conspicuous by his absence in the WWF ratings is Hulk Hogan. He's not in there. Now, I know that they were doing the time where Earthquake squashed him and they was right. taken off TV for a while, but you'd still think he'd be in the top 10, but nope.
Hogan not here. Number one most popular.
Number one most popular, Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Can't.
Which, again, that spot should go to Sting. Yeah, last issue, number one most popular Sting.
How did that, wait, so.
Yeah, he won the title but went down in popularity to Hulk Hogan.
What a pile of shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Stu Sachs, we know you listen to us.
Stu.
You need to go back and correct this.
Yeah, I know. You know what? go back and correct. Yeah, 100%. Go back and correct it.
Yeah.
I just want to point
at
out.
At least put on the website that you're going to correct it. Like, just put like a asterisk or something.
Tweet us and say that you're going to fix this.
Yeah.
Well, some interesting ratings here. AWA, so Larry Zbyszko is the champ. Number one is the Trooper.
The Trooper, yeah.
Which, AKA Del Wilkes.
Yeah.
Making his appearance here. Scott Norton's also in the
Baron
rankings.
Baron von Roschke in the rankings, even at this late in his career.
Oh, yeah. He stuck around the AWA to the very end.
Yeah.
He did not go anywhere. He was around. USWA, this is when the Snowman was the champion.
Oh.
The Snowman famously would go on radio shows in Memphis and say that Jerry Lawler was racist. And then when they tried to get the belt back from him, he pawned it.
Nice.
I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's the gist of what happened.
That's one of my favorite stories I've ever heard. I've never heard that story. That's awesome.
And it's rare because at some point they did bring him back to wrestle because he just won the title here because he was number four. So yeah, interesting.
I wonder what pawn shop he can you imagine being that pawn shop owner and the USWA champ comes in. And he's like,
well, no, because he carried around that unified title. That title is huge.
Yeah, that's true. And he's like, what are you going to give me for this? And the pawn shop owner's like, oh, man, isn't that the AWA title? Yeah, what are you going to give me for it? He's like, I don't know, I'll give you $100.
If he's doing it in Memphis, too, you're immediately calling Jerry Lawler and be like, Jerry, it's over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we got ICW ratings here. We have Tony Atlas as the champ. Rochester Roadblock.
Ah, the Roadblock, number two.
He got, but for some reason, Sheik Alfdi, Alfide.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of.
From Saudi Arabia.
I've never heard of Sheik Alfide. And how you went from number seven to number one.
Yeah.
How about
I like number eight. It's just Haas.
Yeah.
That's his name, Haas.
And I don't think it's Haas Fun. I don't think it's Dory.
I mean, it's just Haas.
Yeah.
We had a guy in BCW. His name was Haas. I wonder if it's the same Haas.
I bet it is.
I wonder.
Somebody get Troy the Boy on the phone.
We will tweet at Troy the Boy, and he will rectify the situation. He probably doesn't even know.
No, he probably doesn't.
But there was a guy named Haas, and he was like on the first show I ever did, and then I never saw him again. But so I had no interaction with him whatsoever. But he teamed up with a guy named Punk. They were Haas and Punk. I liked them. I thought they were like for what they were a clever team. And they came from like Albany or Schenectady or something like that. And I wonder if it's the same guy.
This one's from Waco. And he's 420 pounds.
That's not the same Haas.
Oh, okay.
But when I think of a Haas.
Maybe he lost a lot of weight.
When I think of a Haas, 420 pounds is definitely the weight class of a Haas. So, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, check it out. World Wrestling Council. We got number 10, Zeus. He actually got ranked. And Scott Hall was kicking around there, too, at that time.
Oh, go get him, Scott Hall.
Yeah, Scott Hall, right before becoming the stud.
Yeah.
How about that? So, I like this picture of Stan Hansen. It's a nice little passport photo, too. I would actually like to have this picture framed and in like a small frame and just have it on like a table.
Yeah.
And just have it sitting there and just have, you know, just, I just want a picture, and I want a picture of me on the phone while you can see that picture. I don't know why. I just want that as a thing to exist. So anyways, wrestling's trend towards muscle and power hasn't affected the sport like you think. I don't know. I guess we're basically saying that all those strong men, you know, they can get beaten up by the bloody guys.
I disagree.
You got a great bloody photo here of a well-kempt Terry Funk that's bleeding because his hair is not crazy, and he's beaten up on
Abdullah the Butcher. Yeah. 1978.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you got, you just got a bunch of.
You got Hulk Hogan and Harley Race. Looks like they're about to kiss.
It's like the end of the Notebook.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They're just basically saying, wrestling.
The magazine's kind of out of order. The ratings are kind of early, and now we're going into color photos. It's like,
the middle stuff is all color.
Yeah, it's throwing me off.
It's all color here.
Not used to this. Throwing me off here, Stu Sachs.
Yeah.
And Bill Apter.
What the hell, Bill Apter? Rick Rude is wrestling the Ultimate Warrior all wrong.
He's totally doing it wrong.
And who was who made this quote? I believe it is Paul Jones.
Oh, okay.
Paul Jones, who managed Rick Rude for like a couple months, apparently knows everything about Rick
Rude. Well, if anyone would know, it would be Paul Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also remember at one point when Rude, I think, was between coming to WCW and he was between WCW and WWF, they had a thing where he was on like the indies and they were talking, and it had an article about him about how he's like, Rick Rude's back wrestling, but don't. Managers need not apply, and he kind of goes through like all these different managers, and he said that he didn't like Paul Jones because he got a big mouth. He would sit there and talk shit, which I can't remember anything that Paul Jones did other than had a riding crop and just yelled at people and had a mustache.
Yeah.
You know, and lose to Jimmy Valiant a million times and get his hair shaved. So, but yeah, a lot of cool wrestling photos here. Yeah, a lot of color photos. A nice shot of Rude giving a Warrior a pile driver. And basically the gist of this article is he is kind of wrestling him with using power and not using his smarts, because you think that, you know, he's a much more, you know, he's getting, He's not using what he should. You know, he's trying to overpower the Warrior, but the Warrior is the strongest.
Yeah.
You can't mess with the Warrior.
Can't mess with him.
This is actually out of order, because now you have, you figured you would have put the Sting article first.
Yeah.
But press conference, Ric Flair is first, and we're talking about Ric Flair, you know, and he's, saying, just talking about the match, and they caught up with him right away, and he was in a somber mood. Talking about losing the title.
Yeah, he's like, if I underestimate anything, it was his recuperative powers. Because, yeah, Sting had the knee injury. And
which, by the way, I've just rewatched the one where they kicked him, the clash where they kicked him out of the Horsemen, and then he came back in the Thunder Cage, or the cage match at the end of the show, and he got pulled off. And you don't really see how he lands, but he got fucked up.
Yeah.
And that really sucks. You know, it was just a shitty stroke of luck. Because they were all set to, I think they were all set to give him the title at WrestleWar, I think. And unfortunately, they were not able to do that. They had to go with Luger for a couple of months until Sting was better. And I don't know if he would have had as much of a run had he won. I don't know. I wonder if he would have. Sting would have been a much more regarded champion in his first run had he won it when he was supposed to win it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I feel like it was evident. It became evident. The reason why they took the belt off of him is that he was not drawing any money, I guess. That was their case. And, you know, it's funny, too, because watching this WCW 98 stuff, we're at this point where Sting, they had the whole shit at Starrcade. Belt was held up. Sting goes on to beat Luger, or beat Hogan at Wrestle Brawl. And so he's a champion.
Super Brawl.
Super Brawl. And then he goes on, and then he's only champ for like a couple months.
Yeah.
Like not even like 2 months. And then he goes and he loses the belt to Savage at, he loses the belt to Savage at Spring Stampede. And then Savage had a fucked up knee.
Yeah.
Like he was going into it. Like that was like, I remember he had like a really bad knee for like a long time. And that's what happened. Like eventually, like he went off TV because of that and came back with being all jacked up and shit.
Yeah.
even more jacked up. And then, but yeah, he loses the belt to Savage, and then Hogan, I think, won it the next night.
Yeah.
And then that's how Goldberg got the belt. But
I don't remember why Hogan wrestled. Was Savage part of the Wolfpack?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Savage was part.
Completely forgot that Savage is part of the Wolfpack.
Well, I'm watching all this stuff, and basically the Wolfpack comes to be because Scott Hall's not around because Scott Hall's having his issues. And Savage and Hogan are at odds. And basically Hogan's back, and Hogan's like, hey, whoever gets the belt back from Sting is just going to give it to me.
Yeah.
And Nash isn't cool with that, obviously. And then Hogan, you know, and then Savage is fucking with Sting, and, you know, he also wrestled Hogan at night Uncensored. So it's just a big clusterfuck.
Yeah,
you
know, none of it makes sense to me anymore.
What I'm looking forward to seeing, and I don't really know this, is how Sting and Luger end up in the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Like, and yeah, obviously, you know, Conan jumps over because Conan, they just bring him over. But yeah, I'm curious to see how that happens. Because basically everybody else was in Hollywood. I don't know. It's interesting to watch, but I will say that much. So here's the big meat.
Yeah.
The big meat. Sting wins the NWA world title. And
if this is a dream, don't wake me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to say other than go watch Bash 90 and watch this match.
Yeah, go watch it. It's a turning point in wrestling history.
It's not the best match.
No. Not their best match either.
No. No, I would say there's definitely been better. Yeah, well, obviously, Clash, the first Clash.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Is the best match they had. One of the best matches they had. This one's not the greatest, but
I even think the last Nitro match was better than this match.
Yeah. So, and it's a lot of just like Sting, he was hurt and they didn't think he'd be able to do it, but thankfully he was able to.
Yeah, and I love that Sting variant, by the way, the red, white, and blue.
Yeah. It's a good look.
Yeah.
It's a good classic look too, especially because it was at the Bash and everything. There's something in here too, because it's actually referenced in the Flair interview. And I don't know if I remember this. Maybe I have to go back and watch it. That Flair had his feet on the ropes, and the Steiners came down, and Scott Steiner pushed Flair's feet off the ropes.
Yeah.
And that was a point of contention. So I maybe have to go back and watch this. See what I think of it. And then they have a little thing in here, because they can only say it's great that Sting won the title so much.
Yeah.
So they have like this sidebar where Sting's comeback inspiration comes from an unlikely source, and apparently he spoke to Phillies outfielder Ron Jones.
Yeah, it's kind of random, but you know what? He had to speak to somebody.
I guess, yeah. They're just like, well, he had a knee surgery, and then Sting used... He didn't speak to him, but he used that gimmick, you know, as inspiration, supposedly. I've never heard of Ron Jones.
I mean, I heard of him just because from baseball, like,
really,
I had baseball cards. So
I had baseball cards too, but I don't remember Ron Jones.
That's about it. I've heard of him. That's all. I can't say I've ever watched the Phillies in the 80s and watched them play, but yeah.
And then we have a little sidebar here about Legacy of Power Team USA.
Yeah.
Which, this picture of the Power Team USA they have here, which is, you got Sting and Warrior, obviously, mm-hmm. on one side, and then you have these two other big dudes.
Mm-hmm. You got Rick Bassman in the middle.
Rick Bassman in the middle, but it looks like it's Morton Downey Jr. Yeah. Or like Paulie Dangerously standing in there. I like that photo. I'm not going to lie. I like that.
Very fit Rick Bassman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I don't really know what Rick Bassman looks like.
Yeah, well, he looks pretty fit in that photo.
Okay,
yeah,
well, I mean, he's wearing a suit, so
I don't know. I always pictured Rick Bassman as some fat guy like that Roman Alexander.
Oh, okay,
that's kind of how I picture him. So.
Just wearing a lot of Zubaz.
Yeah,
Zubaz and things. Yeah. Well, here a little article here and Sting and Jesus Christ, there's a lot. A
lot of coverage.
A lot of coverage here, guys. You everything. So they talk about this article, this match at length, And then they give you, in addition to talking about this match at length, they, in addition to that, the last page here is a Sting's title victory complete blow-by-blow.
Yeah, they do the entire play-by-play. It's like when you're on ESPN's website.
Yeah.
Like when you're trying to keep up with a score, like of what's going on in the game, like, and you go to the play-by-play and it tells you every play. That's what this thing did. And it's, I've never seen that before in one of these magazines. It's kind of cool. So
I don't think I've ever seen it since.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
They're probably like, Jesus Christ, we went overboard.
Yeah, and it even gives the time, too.
It gives the time that the match ends, but...
Yeah. Time of the match, 16:06.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it was only a 16-minute match.
That doesn't feel like a very long match.
No, it sure doesn't.
I'm going to go back and watch that match.
Yeah.
And see how I feel about it. If you think you've seen it all, Joe... Check this out.
This looks pretty cool.
I
didn't know about this either. This looks pretty cool. I want to find footage of this because this is awesome.
And this isn't a foreign match.
No, it's.
I thought it was like a Japan match.
It's in New Jersey.
New Jersey with, get this, a clean shaven Terry Funk. Look at that.
Yeah, there's no mustache.
He's in his typical. He's in his his funk gear, but he doesn't have a mustache. I mean, I'm wondering why he would have shaved that.
Yeah,
at the time, because he was still on TV.
So he wrestles Stan Hansen in a brawl that like goes all over like into the river. Like it goes all over the place. It's an outdoor venue.
Yeah,
and somehow there's all sorts of weapons involved, but somehow Terry Funk wins by disqualification. So I have to see this match because, like, how does he get disqualified? All sorts of stuff's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I really want to see this.
There's this really cool photo of, like, they're in the river. Like, they're right on the bank of the river. Funk's, like, standing in the river, and he's, like, punching Stan Hansen. It's awesome.
There is this photo here of Stan Hansen, like, in the crowd, and he's, just standing there, in the crowd. But it looks like his nipple exploded.
Yeah.
The way that I don't know if it's blood or if it's mud.
Yeah, it might be mud.
Because they reference mud here. Yeah. And it's like, but it just looks like, like his breast exploded.
And I like how they talked to Stan Hansen, and he was like, he's in Japan, but when he found out he had a chance to have a street fight brawl with Terry Funk, a man who he respects but hates, it was too good to pass up, so he flew to New Jersey to have this match.
I want to imagine that he was on the plane the whole time with his hat and his chaw and his cowbell,
yeah.
And that he immediately went from the airport, dressed in his gear, to this match.
Yeah.
And then he went from this match to WCW to get the U.S. title.
I can imagine, like, he's just, like, just...
He walked.
He's sitting in his chair, just, like, on the edge of his seat the entire flight, and the stewardess comes over. Oh, Mr. Hansen, can I get you a hot towel? And he just snaps at her. He's like, no! I want Terry Funk!
He's spitting chaw over the place. First class is ruined.
Yeah.
Because he's got first class.
Oh, yeah,
He's got flyer miles.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, sure does.
Let's see here. We're moving on here. We talked about the ringside.
Yeah, we're just in the back part. Yeah, it's all continuations.
We're on the continuations.
Yeah.
Look at Sting working out, doing his quads.
Yeah.
That knee's in shape.
Sure is.
Don't fuck with that knee.
It was funny. Kind of reminded me. This has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but on Reddit, and it was like,
oh no, what are you doing on Reddit?
Oh, I like Reddit. So
you can't be on Reddit. That's the dark web.
I was on Reddit, and somebody was like in the fitness one. They're like, oh, what do you do? How do you change up your workouts when the gym is busy? And I commented like, I don't go to the gym, and I think I got a lot of people like downvoting me. It was awesome.
Oh,
because like I don't go to the gym. I've lost 70 pounds since May, and I have not set foot in a gym. And it's like the gym to me is a waste of time. I hate it. I don't want to go. I'm not going
to
go.
I think it's easier just to go and just do your yoga at home.
And yeah, do your yoga at home, and I walk every day. And
I've learned that in my years. I mean, granted, there's not, look, I am not putting down the gym.
I am. Fuck the gym. Like,
I'm not
serious.
Put it
I am. Like, you go to the gym and it's just a bunch of guys like grunting, like, and they're on the treadmill next to you, and like it's just fuck you. I don't want to stand next to you on the. First of all, the treadmill's a waste of goddamn time to begin with. Like, get on the stair climber or something, or the elliptical. Don't do a treadmill.
Yeah, elliptical's better.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
And like. Yeah, fuck the gym. Fuck waiting in line. Fuck dealing with people. I hate the gym.
Well, I agree. I don't want to deal with people. I'll go to the gym, though. I mean, and I'll work out.
I'm in the past, but way better shape than I have been, and yeah. I haven't set foot in the gym. Fuck it, it's a big scam.
Shout out to not going to the gym.
Not going to the gym. Fuck that. And if I want muscles, I'll do more push-ups. I don't want muscles. I just want to be trim, and I want to. It's funny too because Lauren and I went to a Universal this past weekend.
Okay, first of all, I'm gonna call you out on that.
Yeah,
because. Long time ago,
yeah,
and I told Jen I would say this because a long time ago when I first visited Los Angeles to come out here to do my internship with WWE back in 2008, I came out here with Jen, and we traveled across the country to bring me over here to do my internship, and eventually I came went back. But we came out here, and I was like, hey, Joe, you know, I contacted you. I think it was the first time I was really in contact with you, you know, outside of being in Buffalo. And I was like, hey, Joe, hey, man, let's hang out or do something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, what do you guys got planned? We go, we're going to City Walk. And you go, I'm not going there.
Oh, yeah.
Too many people. Oh, fuck that shit.
I'm not going. Trust me, I'm not a fan of City Walk. I'm still not a fan of City Walk. I fucking hate City Walk. That being said, the theme park itself, like, is not City Walk. You don't have to, like, I'm not hanging out.
You went to City Walk? You went to, like, Bubba Gump or
something? I did. We went to dinner afterwards. We went to,
You went to, there's a Voodoo Notes there, apparently.
We went to Margaritaville for dinner, which was lovely. And then we went to Voodoo Donuts. That being said, like, I'm not going to City Walk just to go to City Walk. If I'm going to Universal, you kind of have to go to City Walk.
So you're saying that it's okay to go to City Walk so you can also do other, like, do the park and
shit.
If
you're doing the park, yeah, you
might as well go to City Walk.
Might as well go to City Walk. Okay. Don't go to City Walk just to go to City Walk. First of all, it's like $20 to park.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, City Walk is just mobbed of people, and it's fucking, it's the same shit you get at the mall. So, like, what's the point of going to City Walk? So,
no, they don't have a bubblegum shrimp, though, at the mall.
Well, they have one on the Santa Monica Pier with much, I guess it's about the same situation as City Walk.
You ever eaten there?
Yeah, it's okay.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I just seen the name.
Margaritaville was pretty good.
I've never been to Margaritaville.
But the City Walk has the Tony Romas that we...
Wait, do they have Buca di Beppo there?
They have Buca di Beppo and Tony Romas.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they have a Brazilian place.
You
and a Hard Rock Cafe.
You put over Voodoo Donuts pretty good.
So Voodoo Donuts, okay.
Since or maybe it was Paula you were saying was the best.
Okay, this is what we're going to talk about now. Voodoo Donuts. So I bought a donut with a pentagram on it, and that was awesome. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. It was
okay.
A chocolate donut, and it had a pentagram drawn on it, and it was great. And I tried it, and it was good. And I also got a glazed donut with strawberry frosting, and it was awesome.
Okay.
Shout out to Voodoo Donuts. Yeah, definitely go to Voodoo Donuts if you're at City Walk and check it out because it's great. There's so many different donut places on City Walk, too. I was kind of surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny because I feel like you could – only donut places I ever see out here are like the Yum Yums, the Winchells.
Yeah.
There's the one that the one in Donut Tea Hut in or Donut Hut in Burbank, which is excellent.
Which is, yeah, pretty awesome.
And obviously Randy's,
yeah.
Which is, Randy's is okay.
I had Randy's a couple weeks ago. They're pretty good.
Randy's ain't bad.
I had the one in Century City.
There's a Randy's in Century City?
In the mall, yeah. There's a little Randy's.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm, yeah, I go to I live right by the big Randy's.
Yeah,
I live in the one where Iron Man was sleeping in.
I always go, it's funny because like when I drive people off at the airport when I'm doing Uber, I'll drive by Randy's and I never go, but it's like, I always like, oh, it's not like I've never been. I've been to that one before, but it's like the parking's kind of sketchy.
It is sketchy.
Yeah.
It is. It's always sketchy trying to get in there. I mean, that's why I don't think I go there a lot.
But Voodoo Donuts, I wouldn't say they're as good as Paula's.
Okay.
Paula's, for some reason, that Paula's Donuts is the best donut I ever had.
I enjoyed it. Okay, Paula's Donuts, which is in Buffalo, which is something that apparently I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah.
Until I... Was it started by like some woman that used
So she worked at Super Duper.
Right.
She ran like the pastries at Super Duper.
She was the duper.
Her name was
Paula Duper.
Paula Duper. And she made her own donuts and they're excellent. And I think there's like two locations. That's it. But they're very good.
I went to the one in the Southgate Plaza over in, I think, where the fuck is that? West Seneca or somewhere else.
Yeah.
And my grandma used to love going there. And apparently my mom's like, you got to try it. Because there's one also in the airport, too.
I think.
But I went there and I enjoyed it. I had a really sweet donut.
Yeah.
I didn't really
They're
vibe,
not like Krispy Kreme sweet. They're better than that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of
Their peanut stick is awesome.
Peanut stick. Yeah, I think I had a peanut stick. It was good.
Oh, so good. And their glazed donut was just awesome.
Yeah. I thought maybe I'll just go straight glaze last
Shout
time.
Shout out to Paula Donuts.
But also, Voodoo Donuts. I actually did have Voodoo Donuts in Denver.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's kind of a big deal on the West Coast. We just didn't get them in L.A. yet, but
well,
they
have
was
one
some in Denver. Yeah.
There's one in Denver. There's obviously the one in
Portland,
but we
Seattle,
went to
Seattle. I think they're in too. Yeah,
we went to one in Denver, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're in Texas as well. So
yeah. Shout out to Voodoo Donuts. Shout out to donuts, guys.
Yeah, for somebody who's lost as much weight as I have, I sure eat a lot of donuts still, and I love donuts.
Well, you figure it out with your points.
Yeah, I tried. I tried the 7-Eleven has a new chocolate donut with it's a chocolate glazed donut, which I love. You know me, I love chocolate glazed donuts, but it's also got chocolate frosting on top of the chocolate glaze and chunks of Oreo. Oreos in it.
Oh, okay.
And it was a little too rich for my blood, so I'm not going to get that again. But I had to try it.
I'm not messing with baked goods at 7-Eleven. I don't think I've had a...
Their donuts are awesome. Their donuts are really good.
Is there a video that people can watch of you talking about this donut?
No.
There should be.
They're 7-Eleven. Shout out to 7-Eleven donuts, because they're really good. I put them just up there with like all the other brands. Like
I think Sweatpants Joe Eats should do a 7-Eleven mini series.
Yeah, maybe a donut. 7-Eleven. You could do a whole show on 7-Eleven.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. 7-Eleven has these new cookies too, by the way. So I haven't tried them, but I want to. You know how they have those chocolate chip cookies by the register, like the soft chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
So now they have two chocolate chip cookies, and in between them is like white cream, like Oreo cookie cream. And I want to try them so bad.
Oh shit!
They got to be like very fattening. I don't think I should try them, but I want
to. No, don't.
I want to really bad
because you're gonna be disappointed.
One day I will try them, and I will. It will be a great day.
Nothing is never as good as you think it is. Yeah. That's how I've lived my life.
But yeah,
except when it comes to food.
But yeah, shout out to donuts and pastries and desserts in general, because I love them all.
And shout out to Sweatpants Joe Eats on YouTube.
You'll learn
more about Joe's culinary explorations.
Yeah, it's funny because the one where I gave a poor rating, the Jack in the Box cheesesteak, where it was awful.
Yeah.
That's getting the most views. For
I have a question
reason.
About Jack in the Box now, because I've been seeing the commercials lately for the. Asian chicken sandwich
yeah,
they're doing.
Yeah.
Have you tried that yet?
No, I haven't. Because there were three new sandwiches that's part of the food truck series.
Right.
I chose the cheesesteak, and I was so turned off by that, I don't want to try the other ones. Mm. I looked at other reviews of the Asian chicken sandwich online, and it looks just average. Nobody's like going out of their way and saying, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. They just put chicken strips with like a chili paste on it, and then boom, that's all it is.
Yeah, see, I have Jack in the Box out here. I don't feel like I live – I mean, I live near – there's one that's sort of close by, but I don't – it's never one of those things where, like, if I'm hungry and I'm near one and I want to get something different, I'll go there. But I don't typically make a point to do it.
What I like about Jack in the Box is their whole breakfast menu is available all the time.
Okay.
So if you want, like, French toast or whatever, or pancakes in the middle of the day, you can go to Jack in the Box and get them.
I always remember about Jack in the Box is the E. coli thing. Back in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah, when kids were dying.
And it always reminds me of that. There's just a sad moment where the father's like, I checked out the sandwich, and I didn't see anything. I'm like, well, it sucks. Your kid, poor kid, just got a bad batch.
But Jack in the Box... For those of you who live on the East Coast listening to us, you probably never had Jack in the Box.
I don't think you're missing anything.
You're not missing much, but at the same time, like, if you go there and you order a burger and fries, you won't be disappointed.
No, it's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's not my favorite, but it is what it is. I rank it, like, on par with McDonald's.
I'll say this much. If there was a Jack in the Box right behind my place...
Yeah.
Instead of like a Burger King or McDonald's,
yeah.
I probably would be more appreciative of it.
Yeah. There's a Jack in the Box right down the street. I used to go all the time.
Mm.
They're not. You know what? Shout out to Jack in the Box. Even though your cheesesteak sucks, your burgers and your chicken sandwiches are pretty good, and I'm never disappointed. And maybe I'll go there after we're done recording because I do have to eat, so who knows?
The last time I went to a Jack in the Box, I'll say this last thing. Last time I went to a Jack in the Box was when I went to Norco, California. to record with Dick, with Burt Ward.
Cool.
I just want this, and I was, it was right outside the sign that said Horsetown, USA.
Yeah,
because Norco, California loves horses.
Yeah,
and Dick and what is it called? Dick, but Burt Ward.
So
was because I recorded with him for Gilbert Gottfried, and he loves huge dogs, and he showed me a picture of him meeting a camel.
Wow!
So because he was very excited that there was a camel that nearby.
I just remembered next weekend I'm going to have Madonna in. Cake. Oh, yeah.
But that what?
There's, so, Lauren and I are driving up to San Francisco next weekend.
Oh, okay. Is this something that you've mentioned? I've heard you mention this.
And then the on the way up, like just past San Luis Obispo is the Madonna Inn. It's like this really kitschy hotel. But they have amazing pink champagne cake. It's awesome.
Mm, never had that.
And it's so good. And we're making our trip on the way up to San Francisco. We're stopping by to get the piece of cake to bring to San Francisco and eat in our hotel room.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. Shout out to Madonna Inn and their pink champagne cake.
Well, hopefully you guys are still with us after talking about this food.
I think people like to hear us go off on other stuff because you got to change it up. And like, there's not much left to talk about.
Well, pretty much this whole issue is just about Sting.
And which is fine. It's great. I love it. But that's it.
I want to point out real quick, there's one of those little pictures, little drawings that they do in these PWIs at this time where they would have just like these funny cartoons.
Yeah.
And this one is a picture of a manager yelling at a wrestler. And he's saying, "I can't believe you, you little sissy. One little leg hold and you give up." And
his legs are backwards.
His legs are backwards. And I'm trying to like kind of figure, like, it's almost as if those, like, the wrestler went out like that.
Yeah.
And it's like he just submitted to, which, holy fuck, if that actually happened in real life, I'd be terrified. Yeah. But anyways, Arena Reports. So we might have to spend a minute on this here.
Yeah. What's going on in California, in San Jose?
Ooh, okay. Where is that?
Right there.
We got Coco WWF. Beware. Okay, let's talk about WWF here.
Oh,
we...
Coco Beware takes on Al Perez.
Yeah, Al Perez for some reason in WWF 1990. Barbarian beat the Superfly. Hacksaw beat Lanny Poffo. Earthquake beat Duggan. Demolition beat the Hart Foundation. Paul Diamond beat Jim Brunzel. And Brutus Beefcake won over disqualification over Kurt Hennig. I do want to point here, in Connecticut, might have had the worst card I've ever seen.
Okay.
Complete result. If this is how the order is, it's not very good. Paul Roma beat Steve Lombardi. Hillbilly Jim beat Buddy Rose. Ronnie Garvin beat Conquistador 1.
Oh, wow.
The Rockers defeated the Orient Express. Dusty Rose and Sapphire beat Randy Savage and Sherry. And what might be the main event, Nikolai Volkoff beat Boris Zukov.
I'm guessing the Dusty Rhodes Savage was the advertised main event, and for whatever reason, they didn't go on last.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how I'm guessing it went down. Because that happened a lot in the 90s. Like, Hogan would go on, like, fourth, and then, like, the Rockers would main event the Conquistadors. So, yeah.
This is where there's a USWA card where the Snowman beat Jerry Lawler.
Wow.
That's where he went with the belt.
That's before he pawned it.
And then he immediately pawned it. I do actually want to, there's some great names here, though. The one that I really like here is in the, he wrestles twice on this card. Here we got Jeff Jarrett, the Bill Dundee, and Billy Travis defeated Tony Anthony, Tom Burton, and the Inhuman.
Oh, wow.
I need to find who was the Inhuman. I need to see what he looks like. I want to know if he looks like Black Bolt. Or
was he wearing a mask or was it face?
Definitely a mask.
Yeah.
Definitely a mask. Definitely a big, jacked up Tennessee guy.
I still want to see who Hoss was.
Like, Hoss and the Inhuman. I want to see that.
Let's get the big fat guy named Hoss.
I also want to point out here that in these WCW. Ooh, here. Check this out. New York Syracuse card. You want to hear the Syracuse card?
Sure.
Coco Beware beat Lanny Poffo. Hillbilly Jim beat Black Bart. I like that. I like that the Hillbilly Jim's been going over. Rick Martel beat Ronnie Garvin. Snuka beat the Barbarian. Rhythm and Blues beat the Bushwhackers. Brutus Beefcake beat Kurt Hennig by disqualification. And in the main event, Ultimate Warrior beat Dino Bravo. I also want to say here there is some Oh, this is actually here. This is the card, the wrestling in the river.
Oh, okay. Let's hear the whole card.
We got Terry Funk won by disqualification over Stan Hansen in a Death Island match.
Wow.
Both men were placed on a small island that was separated from the mainland by a wooden bridge. Hansen was disqualified for using excessive use of a cowbell. But you're on a fucking island.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How is that even? No, I don't. No. You what a cop out. Just call it a no contest. Don't call it a disqualification. Don't disqualify a guy. Just be like, oh, he fell off the bridge.
Yeah.
And we can't determine who won this match. Well, check out the rest of this card here. We got Chris Candido beating Jungle Jim McPherson.
Okay.
Also, Jungle Jim was Jungle Jim Steele in WCW. The Pitbull Express defeated Gunnar Garlitz and Savage.
Oh, cool.
Misty Blue Sims defeated Linda Dallas.
Oh, we had a women's match.
We got a midget match, too. Little Louie beat Tiger Jackson.
Wow.
Golden Phoenix beat Joel Salvoldi. And get ready, Joe. Ken Patera defeated Hoss.
Nice. Hoss was on the show.
Hoss is everywhere. Yeah, there's some interesting match. Oh, I like this one. There's a lot of results here. Because, by the way, it's not just two pages. It's four pages.
Wow.
And I gotta read one of the, there's a few of these WCW results that are interesting. It's kind of indicative here. So there's a few matches here. One of which is Paul Orndorff defeated Mark Callis in 45 seconds.
Jeez.
And then later, Rick Steiner beats Mark Callis in 45 seconds.
Wow, I'm seeing a trend.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool... Actually, shit, I feel like I would really need to read these results. A lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff I could do. Like you could make some guys, put some cards together on WWE 2K17. And then you have your Wrestling Inquirer, Beefcake. Got hit in the face with some knees.
Oh, yeah, that sucked.
And really nothing. Actually, this is a very sad issue of the Inquirer part here. Gilbert returns to Memphis. Not a lot to say.
Baron's Blitzers lead the Tag Challenge Series.
Team Challenge Series.
Yeah, the Team Challenge, yeah.
And also, I like this story. Luger, I'm happy for Sting. I'm thrilled for Sting. So
You're thrilled.
And of course, last but not least, as we referenced earlier, this is a different layout of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, where instead of putting them in the beginning, in the middle, the posters, the posters are now at the end.
Yeah.
And instead of putting the bio on the poster itself, what they would do is they just had a big bio on the last page of the actual magazine, and then the fold-out poster at the end, and the poster, instead of having like the different sections where it's like greatest match, favorite move, whatever, they just have a select set of pictures of from their career. And I do like this one here from September 1983, where Hawk has you don't really get to see a good picture of it, but his do is not just like his typical like dirty blonde.
Yeah, it's like a dark haired do.
One is like straight black, and the other was more blonde. It just looks weird.
Yeah,
and but it's yeah, and this is also when I don't know what kind of face paint Animal used to use. It was like some sort of kabuki kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like half-assed thrown on paint. It's great.
And so he got much better at it. And then the poster is badass, because I also feel like this is a older picture of the roadies.
Yeah, it's from the early 80s. And they
I would say early 80s. I'd say at least 86 to 88. Yeah.
Well, that, to me, that's early 80s.
Even though it's not. But
they got dog collars on and
spikes and everything. It's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. Oh, and they got a little advert if you didn't get enough Sting. Got Sting on the back here saying WCW presents Fall Brawl 90. It's going to be a scorcher. Because if you thought the summer was hot, wait till this fall. Well, if you live in Los Angeles, yeah.
Clash of Champions 12. So was Fall Brawl the Clash of the Champions?
Yeah, they used to call them. They used to call it Fall Brawl, you know, because they didn't have the. I think the Fall Brawl pay per view itself didn't debut until 93.
Yeah.
So that was the deal. But that's it for this issue. Excellent issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, by the
way.
Yeah,
yeah, great issue. Shout out to Stu Sachs and Bill Apter for putting this together.
November 1990, yeah, great stuff.
It's a great, great looking magazine photo cover.
I actually would say to do even track this one down.
Yeah.
If you can. It's a great issue.
Yeah. So you can find us on Facebook. Go to I like kayfabe. I could talk kayfabe on Facebook. We'll post some, you'll see some photos, because we'll post some photos from this issue on there. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Sweatpants Joe, and Sean.
Angry Hero Sean on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, my other podcast, I Can Talk Kayfabe. I am on a podcast with my wife called Worst Collection Ever.
And please, if you liked us, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and write a review. It really helps the podcast out.
Yep.
Rate us on Stitcher as well. We're on there. We're on everywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Yeah, check us out. Please give us a, put us over where you can. And yeah. We haven't done it. Last week we didn't do this.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't do a quote.
But Sting, his quote is just, woo!
No, it's ow.
It's ow? I don't know what it is.